All right, you may be seated. Jesus said, when I was here at this altar praying, He said, you tell them, this is why restoration can happen, because I am the same. Say that out loud. This is why restoration can happen. Because He is the same. See, restoration is a miracle. It's the recreation of original intent. So there's miracles of restoration in the house, and it's bought and paid for. Now, there's seven things here, and I'm just going to read down them. Number one, this is why restoration can happen, because I am the same. Number two, now He didn't give them in number. I put the numbers on them. He just gave me statements, and I wrote them out, and I counted them. There were seven when He got done. Number two, tell them my covenant provides for it. Glory be to God. Amen. Number three, tell them they have to have or they have to develop faith in the power of God. Number four, tell them there is a wisdom that will bring Satan's works to nothing. Number five, tell them Satan is the resisting force, so rebuke and resist him at all costs. Number six, tell them, just because it doesn't come quickly doesn't mean it's not coming. And number seven, tell them, stay at it until the manifestation matures. Glory be to God. Let's thank the Lord for His instruction. Oh, there's so much instruction in that. Now, I want to hone in on one thing by divine visitation in the wee hours of the morning for today, for you, for me, for where we're going, for anybody watching today. Out of Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah 49, verse 8 in the New King James Version. And this particular morning is going to be underneath number two. Jesus said, out of those seven statements, number two, He said, tell them my covenant provides for it. Tell them my covenant provides for it. His covenant provides for your absolute, total, everlasting restoration. Amen. Wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now read what He says here. Please bring it up. Isaiah 49:7. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as what? I'll give you as a covenant. Say covenant. Covenant. To who? The people. To restore what? Covenant. I will give you as a covenant to the people. To restore the whole earth. When? This acceptable time. Today. Right now, as you sit in that chair, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, has shed His blood, and there is a consistent, ever-present, His mercies are new every morning, day to day, will never change. I am the same covenant to all the people of the whole earth to restore the people and restore the earth. It's why He came. Jesus died to bring heaven and earth together. Glory be to God. I said, Jesus died to bring heaven and earth together. Amen. Now, through the Word of God, as we read about covenants, and we'll look at this briefly on some things, but as we look at the word covenant, it means in the old Hebrew to cut, basically. To cut where blood flows. Why? Because it's the idea of two parties entering one another where they become inseparable. And so the covenant then required blood to be shed. We see this when God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and He said, take me a heifer and a ram and a goat and so forth, and cut them in half and so forth. And in the blood of those pieces, God made a covenant with Abraham and passed through that blood to cut an everlasting covenant with Abraham and said, I'm going to give you the whole earth, and this covenant will be everlastingly guaranteed to you and to your seed after you. Of the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore, glory be to God. There's blood between you and God over God restoring you. The blood was shed that you might be restored. For example, let me just give you two examples, all right? The way the Bible talks about the covenant, what activates the covenant. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 29, we're just going to see some phrases here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, look at this verse. It says, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted what? Say this phrase, please. Say it out loud. The blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant by the which he was set apart and sanctified. Set apart from what? Uncleanness, the law of sin and death, the devil. He's on the outside looking in. You're bought. You don't belong to you. Your body and spirit are bought with a price, and that price was the precious, spotless blood of the Lamb. Silver and gold couldn't do it. Religious tradition couldn't do it. It took the precious blood of the Lamb, and it sanctified you. That word means it set you apart from all of the other people on the planet that have no covenant. Oh, glory be to God. That means you actually have a covenant with the creator of the planet you're walking on. And his covenant is to all the people who will enter into it by blood to restore their earth. This is why restoration can happen. Because my covenant provides for it, he said. Now, what activated the covenant? The blood. It's the blood of the covenant. Now, I want to tie this to restoration briefly. And so here, we look at another verse in Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 19. It says in Hebrews 13, 19, but I especially urge you to do this, that I may be what?
Restored.
Somebody say restored.
Restored.
Restored when? Wouldn't you rather be restored sooner than later?
Yes.
I had. How about you?
Yes.
I'd rather be restored sooner than later. Yes. Look at verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood. Notice what's about to happen. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. How's he going to restore you? How's he going to restore you soon? How's he going to restore you in the time you're supposed to be restored today? Through the blood. The whole reason he shed his blood is so you won't have to spill yours. Glory be to God. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Well, clearly the blood of the covenant then is the doorway through which all the promises of the will of God manifest in your life. The blood which has forgiven you, cleansed you, redeemed you, made you righteous, washed your sins, has put you in a position under an open heaven where you have a relationship with God bought and paid for, that it is your supernatural eternal right and privilege to receive everything Jesus died to provide. Not one person healed and one person prospered and that person is pretty smart and this person was given this gift and that gift. No, he shed his blood for a covenant to the people that he might restore the earth, and today is the accepted day. The blood. I want to read this in the Amplified Classic. Look what the blood will do. Verse 21 now. This blood of the covenant is going to strengthen, it's going to complete, it's going to perfect and make you what you ought to be, and it's going to equip you with everything good so that you can carry out God's will. All the while you're operating under the blood, he himself works in you to accomplish what's pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever. Glory to God. To the ages of the ages, amen, so be it. So be what? So be you restored by the blood of the everlasting covenant. So be you perfected and complete. By what? By the blood of the everlasting covenant. So may the power of God work in you, making you what you ought to be. By what? By the blood of the everlasting covenant. So that you're not leaving church today and by Monday morning still filled with care and worry, trying to figure out how you're going to make this thing work. You're not going to make it work. He already worked it. It is finished. He sat down. He moved in you. You don't live by sight. You live by faith. And you don't live by what you do. You live by what he did, by the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, glory to God. By that blood. Shout it out. By the blood. He's going to make me what I ought to be. Say, by the blood. He's going to restore me the sooner. Say, by the blood. He's at work on the inside of me right now. Say, by the blood. He'll never leave me or forsake me. Say, by the blood, there's more with me than there is against me. Say, not by might, not by power, by His Spirit. And because of that blood, I live by faith. And I know how this turns out. Glory. Oh, glory to God. Now, folks, if you think the water's starting to rise now, you ain't seen anything yet. We hadn't even barely dipped our toe in where we're going. Oh, thank you for the blood. Glory to God. Now, I had a visitation from the Lord last night, and so I'm going to have to go at it this way now so that we can accomplish what He sent us to do. In that visitation from the Lord, I actually saw into the Spirit. I heard myself, saw myself preaching. I was in a service, saw myself preaching to people and some miracles that were happening while I was preaching. And I heard myself say this. And it's the title of the message today. Because it is, by biblical definition, the blood of the covenant. Amen? It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. Glory be to God. Available to all the people to restore. But while the Lord visited me, and that's when He began to give me this plan of what we're doing today, He said, but my people often don't know. He said, I don't just see it as the blood of the covenant. And He took me back and said, here's what I want you to show the people. The Scripture says, and let's read this in Hebrews 9. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. As I go down through some of these things, something's going to literally come off the page at you in living manifestation. Because what we're handling is not a mentally written self-help document. This is a living blood-bought, eternally ratified, Word of God that created the planet we're sitting on document. And by the blood, I'm about to prove to you that God, now He's not unchanging. We change. God doesn't change. I'm about to prove to you from the Word of God, God can't see you. It's impossible forever for God to see you any other way than the way this book describes you. So until you start saying about yourself what He said about you, you're not righteous because He's right. So as long as you disagree with Him about you, you're wrong. And it is a violation of the blood of the covenant. Glory to God. And yet, God's put our destiny, because we're created in His image, in our own tongue. He said it, but we have to agree with it. Amen? Because it's a covenant. What is a covenant? An agreement between two parties. A covenant is a contractual agreement. Ours is sealed by the blood of the everlasting Father from the Ancient of Days, who is from everlasting to everlasting. So the other end of our covenant will never break it. So if the covenant ever gets broken, it'll be broken on our end, not His. So God, see, we think God, instead of, here's what we've done, we flipped the binoculars around. Instead of getting a revelation that we're made in His image, we've remade a God in our image. The God we're serving is like how we see life and how we see our worldview and how we see ourselves, and God can do for me, well, I'm weak. Well, no, He didn't create you weak. You may feel weak. You may have done some dumb stuff. You may not have even exercised your own effort to help yourself, but He made you like Him. And when you're born again, this new person is looking out of these eyes. This new person isn't this body. This body's temporary. It will go to the ground. But you, you're just like Him. This new creature has a name, and His name is Jesus. And if you're born again in here today, you've got a right to the family name. And if you're named with the family name, it is a contract written in His blood. Guaranteed that you get the family inheritance. Glory to God. Now look what it says in Hebrews chapter 9. He says in verse 16, for where a testament or a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Which means, of course, you don't get the inheritance before they die, you get it after they die. Well, that's why He died. He died for you to get the inheritance. Oh, come on now. That's why He died. But He's the only one that ever rose again to see to it you got it. to help you go down to the bank or the lawyer or somewhere as an advocate or as a high priest or a prayer warrior to make sure that the people that were wrongfully claiming your stuff, it didn't go into their hands and you didn't get cheated out of your inheritance, because his people perish for a lack of knowledge. And if they don't know what belongs to them, the devil, who's a thief, is going to steal it from them and say it's his. But it isn't his, it's yours, because you're the king's kids. You're the people he died for. You're the ones he wrote the contract with. You're the ones he willed it to. And you're the ones that ought to be healed. So you're not the sick trying to get well. You're the healed holding fast to your health. And every time the devil comes to steal your health, you say, no. It is not God's will for you to be able to take my health. I don't have this sickness, because by his stripes I was healed, and it's in the blood of the covenant. Oh, glory be to God. Listen, it's a contract written in the King of Kings blood, sealed with his righteous gift of a signet ring, and then now we sign in his name to get into the vault of everything he stored up for us by grace. Oh, glory to God. No weapon formed against you can prosper. No demon power has a right to tell you no. God's for me. Why should I fear what man can do to me? Glory be to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why, his blood is running through my veins. His blood has set me apart from the world. Now, I got to get to this real quick here. Notice what he says. Whereupon the first testament, this is Hebrews 9:18. was dedicated without blood, neither was it dedicated without blood, excuse me. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, he took the blood, say he took the blood, of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book, what did he sprinkle?
The book.
And who else?
And all the people.
He actually took the blood and performed a marriage ceremony. He took the blood of the lamb and he took a hyssop and a big basin full of blood, and he dipped that hyssop in that blood, and he held up the written covenant that God had spoken to the people. Yes. And he took that blood, and he went, sprinkled blood all over the book. Then he dipped it again and took that blood and sprinkled it all over the people. Then he held up the covenant, and he said, look at this, he sprinkled both the book and who? Both the book and who? Look at verse 20. And he said, from all those people as he held up the covenant, this is the blood of the covenant of this covenant. This is the blood that created this covenant. And by this blood, God has now enjoined this book to you. And he's joined you to this book. And from this day forward, because of this blood, you and this book are one and the same. So God can't see you. You're no longer ever can be sick, because he can only say you're healed. Because that's the truth. Now, all Satan can do is kill this body, and if you let him get away with it, you get to heaven anyway. But the blood of this covenant provides for this body as much as it provides for your eternal destiny.
Yes, it does.
For what reason? So that you and I can fulfill our purpose and get the will of God done in the planet. Amen. We're not going to live forever. We're not even supposed to live forever. It's not even scriptural that we'll live forever in this body. But I will live eternally, because I am a spirit, not a body. I won't live forever in this house, but I'll live forever somewhere, and I got a glorified body coming. But the blood of this covenant bought my body on the same level that it bought my spirit. And here's why. Because I can't get God's work done in the earth in the natural. He's a spirit. So the only way I can spiritually get done what God sent me here to do is stay in this body in my spirit, so I can contact the earth through this body with my spirit. Because no dead man's still preaching. Huh? Oh, I know we got videos and all that, and the anointing's the same. I'm talking about John Wesley's not running around holding meetings. We get one life, one chance, one generation, and you've been given this body so that you are to upkeep it, just like you paint your house, just like you weed your garden, just like you fix your car. use the blood of the covenant to speak to your body parts so that they will last you. Most people spend more time caring about their car because it takes them to work so they can make some money because they think the money and the job is valuable than they ever do dealing with their body. And the thing is, you have a bunch of cars in life. By the time you're done, you're going to drive a bunch of different cars. You get one body. To run your entire race and stand before Him and hear, well done, and you don't think God provide for you to keep that body up because He knows that in order for you to do what you're called to do, you can't be stuck on the couch? You don't think when He shed His blood, He bought your body? If He didn't buy your body, He shouldn't have picked His up on the way out of the ground. But He did. And He did because He wanted us to forever know that it wasn't just a spiritual victory. He brought it back into the natural realm. That He's the God of the whole earth and He has power over all flesh, and that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So He spilled His blood so we could in our flesh get a hold of the life that's in His flesh. For we are the body of Christ and members in particular. You belong to Him, and he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, and He's in you supplying resurrection life, and He's supplying it to your thoughts, and He's supplying it to your brain waves, and He's supplying it to your nerve endings, and He's supplying it to your ligaments and your sinew and your cartilage and your joints. He's supplying it to the red blood cells and the white blood cells. He's supplying it to the chromosomes and the rods and cones in your eye. He's supplying it down through the marrow of your bone. He's putting the calcium in your bones. He's kept your bones together. He's supplying the muscles and the ligaments that hold it together. He's supplying the oxygen that goes down in your lungs, which He created, and the light that's going in your eyes, which He created, and you're struggling over putting up and thinking that the world has a better way than the covenant. I appreciate what men can do to take care of the body, but that's all they're doing. Yes. Best they can with what God taught them. And we reach the end of that. There's a thing called the covenant of miracles, where if the blood of the Passover lamb could keep 3 million people in a nation strong for 40 years, I wonder if it could make your shoes so they wouldn't wear out, and your clothes where every year when they go back to school, your kids will have a coat. I wonder if He can supply manna for 3 million 6 days a week for 40 years on end and bring water out of the rock and defeat every enemy that came against them in the wilderness, which isn't even the promised land, if He can take care of the New Testament believer, which has a better covenant on better promises. I wonder, can God do it? I wonder, is the tomb empty? I wonder, is the name really what it says He is? I wonder if God has really defeated the devil. I wonder if this all happened, or are we just here in some kind of ceremony? Oh, glory be to God. This is why you say, I am what it says I am. Because you are the book and the book is you. God by blood made you this book. God by blood made this book you. He married you to the covenant.
Yes.
God made your people stop doing without. Now, what I saw as I was preaching in that night vision was He took me back to this phrase, and almost all things, verse 22 now, are by the law purged with blood and without the shedding of blood. Are you hearing me? Without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission. It doesn't get activated unless blood shed. Well, has blood been shed? Then it's active. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Has blood been shed? Then what's available? Remission. Remission and forgiveness are not the same. I said remission and forgiveness are not the same thing.
No, sir.
Forgiveness means, okay, I forgive you for what you did. You still get to come to heaven. But, you know, you kind of messed up everything, and you kind of got it caterwauled here, and you got it all, you know, off center, and you're just going to have to live with the decision you make now. Remission is something totally different. Remission means He took your sin and removed it as far as the east is from the west, and threw it in the bottom of the sea, took your iniquity and removed it off of you, remitted it, took it away from you, and put it in the Marianas Trench. Micah says the sea of forgiveness, where your sins and your iniquities I will remember never again. So every time you pray, you don't get what you pray for based upon your goodness. Because if he marked iniquities, if he marked sin, who could stand? No, we come under that blood. Oh, glory to God. Oh, how I come under that blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. I'm preaching in this night vision, and I heard myself while I was preaching talk about Adam and Eve and some things, and I heard myself say some things. Remember what he said here, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, which means there's no covenant unless blood shed. The very first time blood was shed was after Adam and Eve sinned. No blood was shed until Genesis 4. But in Genesis 4, God cut animals because Adam and Eve sinned and they lost their covering. Are you following me now? The glory was around them. Satan couldn't get to them until they did something dumb and believed him. Then when they believed him instead of God, the thing that kept the devil out and off, now they're exposed. They're uncovered, naked, and know they're naked and uncovered. And then they start working in their own strength, trying to sew a bunch of leaves together to get them a fig leaf suit and fix it. And God said, no, your fig leaf suit ain't going to last. It's going to... You ever walked on crunchy leaves in the wintertime when you were going out to the deer stand? That's what your fig leaf suit's going to look like in about 7 days. You just think other stuff shrivels up. Try wearing a fig leaf suit. It's shorter than it can cover a man. Man's efforts, best efforts, could never cover himself. So God said, the only way you're going to ever live, Adam, you've made a covenant with death now. The killer, the murderer, you've left the covenant of the author of life, and you've cut a new covenant with a murderer. You're under a different law. I've got to cover you and keep him from getting access to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or he's going to take you out before I can ever redeem you. So God spilled some blood. And does anybody know what he did? He made what? What did God do when he killed those animals? What was the purpose? Understand, blood was one part of it. He had to have the blood because there's no remission or covering without the blood. So the blood of the animal was spilled, but why? What was the purpose of the spilling of the blood of that animal? To create skins. To create a covering. And I heard myself preaching. I'm preaching along and I heard myself say, the blood of the covenant is the blood of the covering. Oh, glory be to God. If we really only understood what this blood will do, it will activate the benefits of the covering that has been bought and paid for by the head of the church. This oil comes off the head, across the beard, on the skirts, down to the bottom of the garment. Folks, this isn't about a ceremony. God said two words and created a universe. Light, be! So understand, I in no way am against God doing something quick. If we were where he could, if we were all where we needed to be, we could get in here and get it done in 15 minutes or 10 or two words. But we are kidding ourselves. We are, of all people, insane. If we think we can come and go from Sunday morning church, get a warmed over, exciting, mental, kind of euphoric of things are going to be better and you're really doing good and God knows. Make sure you get out there to get your body something else to eat like it needs it. No, sir, what I'm trying to communicate is the blood of the covenant is the blood of the covering. And sometimes you got to do some digging. Listen, let me tell you something. This was a communion meeting. Adam and Eve, when God showed up in the garden. Okay? I'm quite sure the messages. Think about it this way. Don't you know when God showed up to walk with Adam in the cool of the day, before anything was messed up, wouldn't you like to have heard those messages from God? But here's what you got to understand. After man sinned, God showed up and blood started flying. Because man's sin changed the message. It changed the whole interaction. It made it a whole lot more difficult because now you got to cut something open and handle the innards and deal with the blood and try to get them from a sin consciousness to buy in that God really wants to help when they know they blew it and they're in shame. get them out from behind the tree to even show up at church. This is not new. This happened in the garden. Okay, come on in here now. We're the righteous children of Almighty God. Yes. Now is the time to know we did die. Yes. A death has happened. Not just his, yours. Yes. Glory to God. Thank you. You died. I died. I'm a new man. This new man has a new name. His name is Jesus. This new man's under the blood. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, I'll do that. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 12. I want to show you something here. We're working our way to it. This will be a blessing to you. Exodus chapter 12. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the blood. I said, thank you, Lord, for the blood. I said, thank you, Lord, for the blood. You're about to have an Exodus. Let me show you what's going to happen to you. Psalm 105, verse 37 is supposed to happen to you. Look at Psalm 105, verse 37, then we'll come back to Exodus 12, 1. Psalm 105, verse 37. Do you see this? What did he do? He brought them out with silver and gold. Read it out loud. He brought them forth with silver and gold. What does your future hold? What does your future hold? Because it doesn't belong to Egypt. It was the blessing on Joseph that brought all that money down there to Egypt. And God wasn't going to take them out of there without what belonged to them. And what brought that silver and gold back to them was the blood of that Passover lamb. Oh, glory be to God. He brought them forth with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person under an inferior covenant in the wilderness, not even the promised land. 3 million people under the blood of a lamb.
Amen.
Not the blood of the Son of God, the blood of a lamb. If God can keep 3 million for 40 years with the blood of a lamb and sacrificed goats, surely the blood of Jesus can keep your body healthy for 70 years. It ought to be relatively easy for you to be healthy if he can keep 3 million strong for 40 years. Just start doing some math about one person. You're covered by the blood. It's the blood of the covenant. It's the blood of the covering. Glory to God. And let me tell you what the Lord told me. I mean, this is huge. Read this with me. Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, the land of Egypt, saying, this month. Oh, somebody say this month. Shall be to you the beginning of months. Oh, man. I'm telling you, if you only knew every time you took communion, you got a new beginning.
Oh, Lord.
If you only knew everything of your past passed over and you got a brand new beginning. Yes. I'm telling you, you're hurtling toward 2020. And yesterday doesn't matter. And it's not the end of a prophecy. It's just the beginning. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. And it shall be the first month of the year to you. So speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month. And he told them what to do. And then he says, look at this. He says, according to the house of your fathers, a lamb for a house. Say it.
A lamb for a house.
To every house, for every house, a lamb. Say it. For every house,
a lamb.
A lamb.
For every house,
a lamb. Say,
a lamb
was slain.
For my house.
That's you. That's your children. It's your children's children. It's what needs to come to you to do what you're called to do. It is the integrity of the family name. And whatever Satan has stolen, it is a guarantee that it comes back and that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God has promised to be your personal blood covenant God to you and to your house. There's a lamb for every house. Well, what if I'm not married? And what if I don't have this? And what if my family's all gone? What if I'm by myself? Well, let's read it. What about it? He says, verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb. See, there is no household too little for the lamb. The lamb belongs to everyone. So he's saying, if the household's too little to eat the whole lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. So say this to your neighbor. Listen, I'm joining my faith to yours. And one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. For we are the body of Christ, bone of his bones. We are his joints. We are members in particular. Jesus died for this body. And this body will be prosperous. And this body will be healed. Every household that's under this blood covering. I'm not going to let you stay out there and believe this in by yourself. If your faith is too little to get yours in, then I'm going to hook in there with you to help you get it in. But we are a body. I'm telling you right now, you are in that blood, and that blood is in you, and we're in one another, and our faith is on this lever, and there is no devil in hell can stand against us. If we will just rise up with the shield of faith, it'll quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. But you got to deal with this as a covenant of blood, and you cannot deal with it as a message. Shout it out aloud. For my house, a lamb. For this house, a lamb. For every house. Woo! Glory to God. Give the Lord a shout right now. All right, now let's keep reading. This is Passover. They're about to have an Exodus. Shout it out. Say, I'm getting ready. Me and my house are getting ready for our God-given Exodus. Oh, glory be to God. Then he says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Verse 5, a male of the first year, take it out from among the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now hear me. He's about to tell us what's about to happen. But he's saying, take hyssop. He's going to have to say, you're going to take a hyssop and put it in that blood. And you're going to hit the sides of your door and then hit your lintel. When you do, there's going to be so much blood on that lintel, it's going to drip down to the threshold. And it's going to create a complete circle that when you walk through that blood, you walk through a door where you're sanctified, separated from the destroyer. And when he sees that blood, he's got to pass over your house. That house represents the covering. When you walk through the blood, you come under a roof. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not just the blood of the covenant, the blood of the covering. We're going to see in a minute why they ate it so quickly and how they had to dress a certain way. There's a reason. Oh, glory be to God. Notice what he says here. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread. I don't have time to get off into the unleavened bread, but what a study. And with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat it. Not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire. Now look at this. His head. Say his head.
His head.
With his legs.
His legs.
And the King James says, with the pertinence. When's the last time that you went to the restaurant and ordered some pertinence? That's exactly what I'm getting to. She said, what is it? Well, that's what manna means. What is it? But that's not what pertinence means. Pertinence means the guts. The innards, the liver, the chitlins, but wasn't a pig. Let's read it this way. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted, verse 9. They shall not eat of it raw, eat its head, eat its legs, and eat its inner parts. Eat its inner parts. Now, if you do any study, here's what they did. They did it like you would field dress an animal. Like if a hunter took a deer and they would field dress that deer and take the bowels out. But instead of throwing the bowels away, listen to me. Here's what they did with the lamb. They opened up the lamb, took all the bowels out, washed the vital organs, put them back into the cavity, and then roasted the whole thing, its head, its legs, and its clean inner parts. Are you getting this? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and not because we're good enough to do it, but because His grace is sufficient in our weakness. God, I'm clean by the blood, inside and out, top to bottom. I'm covered, I'm blessed, I'm clean, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm free. I got a new beginning. There's a lamb for my house. I'm telling you, by God, I'm finished with the devil controlling and limiting anybody I love and care about. It is time to leave no doubt that Jesus is Lord, that the tomb is empty, and the one resisting you is the devil, not people. So resist him at all costs and plead the blood. There's a new beginning and a new life and a new body, and there's a lamb for your house.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I'm talking about the blood. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah for what you've done today. We love you. God bless you. Jesus is coming soon. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hug somebody. Tell him you love him on the way out. Love you lots. God bless you. Dismissed today in Jesus' name.